Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
The book of Exodus, chapter 16. Bless the Lord. How'd you get my notes? Well, bless the Lord. Amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up in the evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man, according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. When the sun became hot, it melted. Thank you, Bill. I've got a semblance of what I can use on mine now. I want to talk to you this morning about manna for a season. Now, excuse me. Everybody from time to time needs everybody needs a little help. Can you say amen? Everybody needs some help from time to time. But what we have here is that we have the children of Israel living on manna that God never intended them to live on forever. Now, I want you to recognize that they went for 40 years living, eating manna that God had provided for them. How many knows that God will provide for you if you allow him to? You know, we are in the process. Now, we've got to recognize that God will provide, but then we've got to do our part on managing what he has provided for us and not wasting and not hoarding, but managing what God has given us. Can you say amen? So we understand that God had brought the children of Israel to a place in their life. They have eaten this manna, think about it, for 40 years. Now, in the beginning, they didn't like like the manna. In the beginning, they said, we don't want this stuff. It's gotten old. But it was the perfect diet of what they needed. How do you know? Because they did not grow old, or they did not grow fat. They didn't just grow lean. It was a perfectly balanced meal of what they ate. But check this out. There come a time that the manna was about to be done with and the manna was about to be over. While in Egypt, the Israelites didn't need daily provision. They didn't need provision for living because the Egyptians provided for them of what they needed. So it was make sure. If you'll see, that's what happens when I don't have all my notes. I go scattered. It's amazing to me that the children of Israel, they went from famine or nothing. You remember Joseph was in prison. They came in there, and because of what happened at Joseph, they were able to sustain them. And the place of blessing eventually became a place of cursing. So you can't just look at God, at one place or one person for to be your source for your life and to be your source from here on. Because God will bring you into a season, and a season is just that. It's for an appointed time. And when that season is over, it doesn't mean that you've messed up. It doesn't mean that God is upset with you. It just means that the season is over and you've got to move to the next season. Can you say amen? They live there in Egypt, and when you're in bondage, a mentality sets in. When you're in bondage, a mentality sets in, especially when you've been raised in bondage. It's one thing to live in bondage. It's another thing to be raised in bondage. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean simply this, that if fighting and bickering is all that you know, then it doesn't bother you to fight and bicker. If a Jerry Springer show is all that you know, Jerry Springer don't bother you. I'll never forget my cousin Jimbo, who's a pastor now. His daddy was a drunk. Just a drunk. Bubba Reed. Yep, that was Alabama name right there. Amen. Bubba Reed. He was just a drunk. And I was his cousin, and I was going over to stay with them the night. Well, another mutual friend of ours wanted to come over, and he went and said, Mama, can so-and-so come over tonight? And Betty said, no, he can't come over because Bubba's on one of his drunks. And he said, well, Ronnie's coming. She said, but Ronnie knows he's a drunk. And Ronnie knows what to expect. So when you have been raised in a bondage mentality and you've been raised in crazy don't bother you. You know, how many thinks that your family is crazy? How many thinks that your spouse's family is crazy? I remember when I met my wife's family, when they would talk to each other, it was like they would yell at each other all the time. I was like, what the heck? So finally, my wife and my sister-in-law, who will be here this in the 11 o'clock service, man, they would just talk to each other and almost like yell like they were fighting. I'd say, calm down. She said, everything's fine. I was like, y'all not mad? She said, no, that's the way we communicate. I said, well, okay. But I, you know, when you've been raised in a certain mentality, if you've been raised broke, busted, and disgusted, that's the way you think life is. If you've been raised on your lights being cut off, it ain't a big deal when your lights get cut off. If you've been raised on having to eat beans and biscuit, it don't bother you to eat beans and biscuit, right? Matter of fact, when you get out of eating beans and biscuit, sometimes it's good to go back and eat beans and biscuit. Come on, somebody. When you get to that place, though, you've got to understand that your norm is not everybody's norm, and make sure that your normal, is it what God wants you to have as normal, or is it what you've been raised in as normal? How many have said, well, nobody in my family has ever graduated. Nobody's in my family has ever went to college. Everybody in my family's gotten divorced. And when you have that mentality, it sets in. But God wants to break that mentality in you and wants to bring you a manna for a season. That was the way Israel operated while they were in Egypt, but they weren't in Egypt anymore. I want some of you to understand, you're not in Egypt anymore. You're in the house of the living God. And if you know Him as Savior, Egypt is not your home anymore. Amen. It's not your home. Now, somebody has got to go on record and say, this is not normal. Somebody's got to go on record and say, this is not the normal and we're not going to do this anymore. Somebody's got to go on record and say, just because my mama was crazy and my daddy was a drunk don't mean that I'm going to be, and I'm not going to pass it on to my children. Somebody has got to go on record and say, just because you were abusive doesn't mean that I've got to be abusive, because I'm coming into another season of my life and I'm leaving Egypt behind me and I'm about to operate in a new realm, in a new understanding, in new situations. Help me, Jesus. So, in bondage, the struggle and the battle is just for existence. Man, you're just trying to survive. Everybody talking about, you know, all these other things. All you're trying to do is just survive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to make it to the next day. In bondage, the struggle is a battle just for existence. You know, well, you know, so, well, how much are you trying to save? Save? I'm just trying to get through today. You know, in bondage, you don't even try to think about tomorrow. You don't even try to think about that. You just try to make it today. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to make it today. Because you've got a bright future. And Jesus is in your forecast. And He's going to bring some things to pass that you've been praying about. My God, I feel the prophet coming on me. And He's about to bring about some things that you've been believing for. He's about to bring about some things. You're about to cross Jordan, my God. You're about to cross Jordan and get up out of Egypt. It might be the wilderness, but it won't be Egypt anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the anointing. Well, but Pastor, I'm not in Egypt. Let's go to point number two. I'm not in Egypt, but now you're in the wilderness. Well, in the wilderness, at least it's not as bad as Egypt. At least the wilderness, you're not in bondage anymore. Well, but I wasn't in bondage back there. I wasn't in chains. Well, some might have been in chains, but you couldn't leave unless you was told where to work. You was told who to marry. You was told, you were in bondage. You was in slavery. Well, not me, bless God. Oh yeah? You were still told. We just didn't recognize the taskmaster. But understand, now you're in the wilderness. When you've been in bondage all of your life, and you just come out, it's like discovering a whole new world. You ever been gone away from your family for an extended length of time, and then you go back, and you just look at them? Who are these people? Surely my family is not crazy. How many understand what I'm saying? You didn't know they were crazy until you got out of there and got to go back. Uh-huh. And you can't take it back but about 3 days. And you're ready to leave again. You're just ready to see everybody, make sure everybody's safe, and you're ready to leave them again. I got to get out of here. This is getting on me. You know, my children say all the time, when I go back to Mobile, they'll say, Dad, it takes about 30 minutes around your brothers and you're talking Alabamian again. And I do. I'll start talking like this. I'll say boy and son. And I get real country. It doesn't happen. I don't mean to do it. It just happens. Now, the last time I went, my youngest daughter, Lauren, she said, Daddy, it didn't happen. I said, what didn't happen? She said, you didn't start talking like your brothers. I said, because I made a conscious decision. I don't want to talk like them. Come on, somebody. The disciples in Jesus likened this new life to being born again. When the Israelites were led up out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness. The wilderness is the place in between the vision and the fulfillment of that vision. It's not a bad place. It's just an in-between time. Man, I've got to hurry. Good Lord, I got a lot to get to. It is the place between vision and the fulfillment of the vision. In the wilderness is where God makes you and I His habitation. When you were in Egypt, you might have thought about God, but He didn't inhabit you. But in the wilderness is where you call on God. It's where you got to understand, I don't even know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going on. And God just steps into your life and steps into your situations, and a peace comes that surpasses understanding. And He says, I am your habitation. And even though you don't know which way's up and you don't know which way to go, you just still feel at peace because He has made you His habitation. My God. Hey! You allowed Him to become into your life. In the wilderness is the infancy stage with God. Well, you don't know grits as groceries. But you're just enjoying life. Oh, I don't know what's going on, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Some of y'all need to get this into your spirit. I'm not where I ought to be. I might not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Hallelujah. Because serving Jesus is progression, and He's progressing you out from the wilderness or from the Egypt to the wilderness. But guess what? The promised land is coming. Can you say amen? God provided for the children of Israel manna from heaven. God began to miraculously to supply the food needs of the children of Israel by sending manna from heaven to feed them. Now, manna is the Hebrew name given to this heavenly bread, means what it is. What is it? That's what it means. What is it? Nobody can tell you what it is. It just sustained them. In the wilderness, you get some heavenly manna from time to time. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't know how you made it. Manna. You don't know how you made it through. Manna. You don't know how the bill got paid. Manna. You don't know how the relationship, manna. I don't know how I made it out in my right mind, but manna. You just got manna. You don't even know. You're just in the wilderness. You can't articulate it. You don't know how it happened, but you just go, glory to God. I don't know how, what just happened, but I know one thing that I know. I don't know what it is, but I know it is. And I know that God just did something in my life. Hey, glory to God. God provided for the children of Israel manna. In the wilderness, things happen to you. God blesses you, and you don't know what it is. You just know what that it is, and it's God. All you know is that it is, and it's good. All you know is that it is, and you can't articulate how it happened or why it happened or what happened, but you just thank God that it did happen in the wilderness. The lesson is that God will provide for the needs of His children. That's the lesson. The lesson, the food supply came morning by morning in God's time according to God's plan. The supply would not be stored up for future except on the Sabbath so they could keep the Sabbath holy. All right? You cannot store up God. You cannot store up His grace. You cannot store up His mercy. Each day you had to go out and gather it up. Each day you had to go out and get your daily portion. Can I tell you that a dab won't do you? Every day of your life, you need to wake up understanding that His mercies are new. You need to wake up understanding that I've got to go out and get mine today. I'm going to go into the prayer closet. I'm going to go into my secret place. I'm going to go wherever I need to go today in order for let God, in order to get my manna for today, because it is His manna that is going to sustain me. You had to get involved in the miracle process. Hear me now. Hear me close. Take out a piece of paper. You need to write it down. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. You do the possible, He'll do the impossible. Each day you have to receive new mercies from the throne of God. You can't save up the goodness of the mercies of God. Each family received all that they needed. Everything you need is found in the house of God. This was how Israel survived. Think about it. This is how Israel survived for 40 days or 40 years. All right. The Lord used this gift to sanctify the Sabbath. But now, when you're in the wilderness, you need God to help you along, right? And in the wilderness, God was teaching obedience. God is always trying to teach us something. In the wilderness, God was saying, you got to hear my word, and you got to hear what I'm trying to teach you, so that you would adhere to what I'm trying to teach you. God said, I'm telling you that you just got to go out every day and do it. Can I tell you that if you don't go every day to the throne of God, if you don't go every day in your prayer closet, if you don't connect with God every day, you're going to start feeling a little faint. You're going to start feeling a little hungry. You're not going to be where God wants you to be. Every day you need to go there. Their real problem was that they still had the old appetite and needed to learn to enjoy the new food that God had given them. Let's just be real. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want some of you to admit and the others of you to lie. Because everybody in this room still has some old appetites. You don't think it? The right thing hadn't come by you yet. You think, well, bless God, I just never tempted anymore. Then the right thing hadn't come by. Listen. I used to drink years ago, and I'm telling you that I'll never forget when the first time in 5 years that I literally had to go to a quote unquote cocktail party for the business and for the company I was with. And so I was there and I walked, my boss told me, hey, Ronnie, go get me a drink. And he told me what he wanted. And I started walking up there and I thought about the screwdrivers I used to drink, the vodka and orange juice, and my mouth watered. I went, what in God's name? Are you kidding me? Then the old devil said, nobody would know. And then I said, well, my boss and my supervisor know I'm a Christian. So then he said, well, just get some Coke and rum. They would just think it's a Coke. And I said, yeah. I said, And the old devil said, Sherry's 250 miles away. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was like, no, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Walked up there and said, I ordered the other drinks. I said, I'll have a Coke. And the guy says, you want me to put an umbrella in it so people will think it's a drink? I said, no! I don't want people to think it's a drink. I want them to know I'm standing for something. Amen? So, now, Pastor, was that the last time that you've been tempted? That's the last time I'm going to tell you about. We want more. Tell more y'all. Come on, somebody. In the wilderness, the main battle was everyday direction. Out of the wilderness and for daily provision. Oh my God. I might get it. Let's see. Give him my next one. Let's talk about the promised land. All right? Because two things I want to point out here. Because our text is they were in the wilderness. But now, here we come to Joshua. I want you to turn there with me. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to talk about the promised land for a moment. Two things I want you to point out here is first, prepare. To this point, God's people had been provided for and had survived totally on God's hand. They survived. Their daily provision was by the hand of God. All right? But in Joshua chapter 5, say amen when you get there. Verse number 12 says, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Man, that was fast. God didn't wean them, did he? God didn't wean them off of it. As soon as they ate the produce of the land, the manna ceased. He said, now, okay, it's time for you to do something. Oh, we don't want to hear that. You know, there was a guy, he's dead now. But I remember he got saved. He came to me, he said, Pastor, I don't understand what these people talking about, how that they pray and things don't happen. He said, I don't even hardly have to pray, and then stuff just happens. I just barely pray about it, and God comes through. And I patted him on the shoulder. I said, enjoy the wilderness while you're there, son. Enjoy the wilderness. You know, I mean, God gave him a car. God gave him his children back. God gave him a house. And God gave him, and God gave him, and God gave him. And the problem is we get so used to God giving that we fail to do. See, I said manna for a season, not manna for a lifetime. And so we get to the point that we want God, that God has done it this way for so long, and we think God's going to continue to do it. But manna will cease for a time. Oh, help me, Jesus. All right? So now God was developing in his people a mentality of personal responsibility for the manna would soon cease. Well, it's easier when God does it. No joke. You know, last night I went to bed a little early, and because I was going to lose an hour, so I went to bed a little early, and I was laying in bed, and my old, both of my daughters are home. They got in last night. My oldest daughter got in the night before, but she had a friend over, and her friend are staying in the guest bedroom because my other daughter's friend is staying in her old room, and blah, blah, blah. And so they were right next to my door, and the light was on across the room that I didn't turn off when I got in bed. And my phone happened to be right here. So I just grabbed up my phone, and I texted my daughter Jillian. I said, can you come here? She come in. She said, hey, Dad, what you need? I said, well, I want a good night hug, and then I want you to cut that light off. She said, are you kidding me? I said, no, I just want to remind you why I had you. But that's what, you know, because let me tell you, I miss them when they're not there for things just such as. I miss them for other reasons, but I really miss them for that. I mean, all of us knows, you know, anybody 45 and older knows who the remote used to be. That's right, I said who the remote used to be. We used to be the remote, right? Dad would say, boy, get up and go turn that channel. We were the remote. But sometimes God wants to teach us personal responsibility. You know, I know people all the time who always talk about how many cars that they've been given. I won't do it because, you know, I'm just not that mean-natured. But I always want to say, how many cars have you given away? Why? You know, if I've got to line up behind the door, if the door of blessing and the door of miracle, I'm going to line up behind the door of blessing every day. Because blessing means that I'm daily receiving instead of a miracle from time to time. Manna for a season. Well, bless God, Pastor, it happened for 40 years, but it still ceased. The blessing that God taught them to live off the land is still going on over 2,000 years since that time. So I want to line up behind the door of blessing. Does that make sense to you? So you can see the pattern and parallel of the relationship with earthly parents and our children. We provide everything they need. And as they grow, they begin to take on responsibility that allow them to begin to help us with our agenda. I don't know if you caught that. That when they're young, they help us with our agenda. The older they get their own agenda. But while they're young, they help us with our agenda. All right? In Joshua chapter 5, manna ceased. A manna miracle, think about this, that had been provided 6 days a week for 40 years. I mean, I can see how you could kind of get used to that. For 40 years, you didn't have to worry about nothing. You're just going to get up in the morning, go out and gather up your little, what is it? And go bake it and have your meal that day. But now, things are changing. I'm trying to help somebody. God's promise of provision would now take on a new form. See, some of us can't change with the forms of God. Now, I didn't say God changes. God said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. But how many knows his methods change and the way that he works changes? Remember Elisha, when God fed him by the raven, changed the nature of a raven, changed the nature of a buzzard. A buzzard don't give food away. A buzzard eats food. But God said, give that food. I was like, I believe I'll go down here and give this old fella this piece of meat I got. I don't know why I did that. It wasn't hypnosis. It was God. While God would still be their provider, you got to hear this. While God would still be their provider, they would learn personal responsibility from working the land and eating from it. In the land of promise, God wanted to teach us not to expect extraordinary supplies when supplies may be had in an ordinary way. You know, let me say it like this. Now listen to me. You have to be careful. My philosophy in life, in ministry, everything is balance. And I'm not saying I'm always balanced. Sometimes I'm out of balance. But that's my philosophy in life is balance. But check this out. You're praying, God, Lord, would you just bless me? Lord, I need a financial. Here's one I get all the time. Lord, I need a financial blessing and the work calls. Hey, listen, we need somebody to work overtime. No, I'm not working overtime, for God's sake. I've worked all week. I ain't doing that. Forget that. No. But God, Lord, all right, goodbye. Lord, would you just bless me financially? God, you know I need this, Lord. Hey, listen, could you take up an extra shift? No, I've worked long enough. No, I'm not going to do it. We want manna. When God's saying, if you'll work the land. If you'll work the land. it's still going to be God that gives the increase. Because yes, you got to plant the seed. Yes, you got to go harvest. Yeah, you got to weed it. You got to do all this stuff, but it's still God that gives the increase. Does that make sense to you? Manna for a season. As long as they needed manna, it was there. Every provision in life is a result of the grace of God. All right, so first of all, they prepare. Secondly, let me tell you this. In Cana, they know, oh, you got to get this. In Cana, they no longer face the old battles of wanting to go back. In the wilderness, they kept looking back. They ran out of water. Oh, that we would have died in Egypt. They come up against some battles. Oh, we were better off in Egypt. Well, now they've been in wilderness for 40 years. Now they're in Cana. They don't talk about, oh, we wish we could go back to the wilderness. They don't talk about, oh, we wish we could go back to Egypt. Now, their old battle of wanting to go back is over. They begin to see new battles. Not battles of hunger or food, but new enemies. The battles change. My Lord, hear me, somebody. Their battle used to be for food and direction, but now there is a new battle. It's a new enemy. You're saying, but Pastor, I'm facing things I ain't ever faced. Good. It means you're coming out of the wilderness and coming into the promised land. You're facing some new battles. Now hear this principle close. I think it's my next one. When you start facing new battles that you never faced before, know that you're taking new land. Woo! Well, I tell you, this is the hardest fight I've ever fought. Good! That means that you ain't walking on old land, but you're taking some new land now. Thank God! Thank God that the old treaded out places are gone and now you're taking new land and you're saying, I'm not the same person I used to be and this ain't the same land. I'm facing new enemies. If you keep facing the same old enemy every time, it might mean you crazy. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, but expect different results, it is literally the clinical definition of insanity. In the book of Numbers, the people learned that while Canaan was flowing with the milk and honey, just as God said it was also well fortified with inhabitants of giants. All right. God did not ordain you to live in the desert. God did not ordain you to live in Egypt. He did not ordain you. Now hear me closely. He did not ordain you to live in the wilderness. He did ordain you to go through the wilderness. There's a huge difference. God, the Bible says that they could have took them right. When they come out of Egypt, remember the story that the Lord said, I could have took them right into the promised land. But there were some battles there that they were not ready yet to fight. So I got to teach them, I got to take them through these battles to teach them that the same God that brought you through the battle of hunger, that brought you through the battle of directionless will now bring you through the battle of your enemies breathing down your neck with a sword and a spear. I'm the same God that did it then, and I'm the same God that I do it now. And I say to you, the same God that kept you in the wilderness and kept you through the wilderness will keep you during this new season, this new battle that you're in right now. Can you give God praise? Come on, stand to your feet. I'm not done, but I'm done. I'm not done, but I'm done. Let me just say this. God wants to give you a New Testament manna. God wants to give you a New Testament manna. In the Gospel of John, Jesus called himself the true bread from heaven. In 5:33, he says he's the bread of God. In 5:34, he says he is the bread of life. And in 5:41, he says, and the bread which came down from heaven. And Revelation 2:17 says, to him who overcome, I give some of the hidden manna to eat. He is our new manna. I just want you to lift up your hand to him. Only you know. I just really want to zero in on that point. That you know whether or not you're facing new battles. And if you are, I just want you to throw your other hand up and say, thank you, Lord, I'm taking new ground. It might be tough, it might be hard, but the same God that kept me through the wilderness is the same God that had to bring me through this new season. Because I am destined, I want you to say it, I am destined to live in the land of promise. I didn't say the land of ease, not the land of easy, but the land of promise. That there will be battles to fight, but there are spoils of war. That there might be battles to fight, but there is rest for the weary. For they that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Hey! Rest in him. Go ahead and tell the devil, I'm not going back. I'm not moving back. I'm not going back to the wilderness. I've tasted of the land. I've tasted the grapes. I've tasted the fruit of the land of promise. And this is where I shall live. Hey! No limits, no boundaries, I see increase all around me. Stretch forth, break forth, release me, enlarge my territory. No limits,
come on, sing.
No boundaries, I see it all around me, stretch forth, break forth, release me, enlarge my territory, no limits,
no boundaries,
I see increase all around me.
Stretch
forth, break forth,
release me,
enlarge my territory.
Father, I speak over these people today. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, let us see where we are. Lord, the new land that we're taking. It might be new battles, but it's new territory. It's the land of increase. It's the land of promise. Lord, you gave us manna for a season. Help us not to just look to you as you can only do it one way. There are many ways that you have to provide. There are many ways that you have to cause us to overcome. And in Jesus' name, we release you. We release you to do what only you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.